Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, listeners. Good evening, everyone. I am so happy to be here with you this evening. I am Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And I am so excited that we are having another episode of Living by Design. We are continuing with our wonderful theme that has just had a tremendous impact, and I'm so excited, so anxious to get started with tonight's show because we have a great guest on tap. Dr. Sharon Sparks is going to be joining us to talk about our theme, which is reinventing your mind. Because that's where it all starts, in your mind. If you have a healthy mind, you have a healthy life. We are almost, well, actually, we are more than halfway through the year. So I don't know if everyone has accomplished their goals, but you still have time. Life is full of choices, And you know who's in control of those choices? You are. So we're going to just take a really quick little break here before I bring my guest on the line. I am so anxious to bring my guest on the line. But before I do that, I have so many announcements, and I'm just going to take a quick break here and let you hear a little bit about what's coming up.
Have you accomplished your goals for this year? 2010 is almost coming to a close, but it's not too late to still win in 2010. Join me, Kathy Holloway Hill, and my friends and associates for an exciting lineup of events coming soon. Our Catalyst for Change workshops, our group coaching sessions, our Girlfriends for Life Regional Women's Conference, and the Steward Speakers VIP Gala, all coming soon to a city near you. Visit www.emotionalbailout.com/events for dates, details, and early bird registration incentives. Again, that's www.emotionalbailout.com/events. See you there.
So make sure you go to the website and check out all of the upcoming events because we have an exciting lineup for you because we want to make sure that your year ends a lot better than it started. Okay, so moving on, I am so excited to bring my guest on the line, and Dr. Sharon Sparks should be on the line. Are you there, Dr. Sharon?
I sure am. Hello, Kathy. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
Now, I want to just make sure I'm pronouncing your name right. Is that correct, Sharon, Dr. Sharon?
Sharon or Sharon. I get called a lot of things. Good and bad. You know?
Yes, I'm sure you do. I'm sure we all have.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm so excited to have you on this evening. And as you know, our topic or our theme, I should say, our theme, mm-hmm. for this month is reinventing your mind because it all starts in the mind, Dr. Sharon.
It certainly does. First off, let me thank you for having me on because this is such an important subject. And a lot of what I do, I do coaching and counseling and training. I'm a professor at Penn State, and I do all these different things, and I'm always working with different levels of people, whether it's my college students or in my private practice, in my trainings, whatever, to try to get them to get a new mindset, to get a new paradigm, because it is the whole difference in the rest of their lives.
It really, really is. And, you know, it's so important that I really do think, and because I also teach in one of the local colleges here, and that's mm-hmm. one of the things I tell all of my students when we begin our new semester, our new quarter, I always start out, because my class is life skills. It's called Life Strategies.
Yes.
And I tell them, every other class that you have, whatever you're majoring in, this one is going to be the hardest one of all. And I don't care if you're trying to get a degree in medicine or law or whatever, but this class is going to be the hardest class that you will undertake, and I'll tell you why. Because it requires change.
Mm-hmm.
And change is the hardest thing in life for people to do. Dr. Sharon, it is the hardest thing, because for whatever reason, we hold on. And that's what I want to talk to you about. And I actually just posted a really good article up on my blog. So for everyone who's listening, please go take a look at my Emotional Bailout blog. You can actually link to it from my website. And I posted an article up there today, and it's entitled "Letting Go of Holding On."
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Because that's what we tend to do. And mm-hmm. and I talked about why it's really funny. Even though it's painful, have you ever wondered why is it so difficult to let go of something that hurts?
Well, sure. I see that so much in some of my abuse cases. People hang on because it is a familiar area to them. Even though it might be
right.
bad, that's all they know.
Right.
And no one wants to give up their comfort zone. You know, it's very scary out there, even to take a step to what might be a better life. People are afraid of that, and they just don't want to let go of that comfort zone. I also teach a class called Work-Life Balance. And
mm-hmm.
one of the first things when my students come in, I tell them, you know, where you're at today is a direct response of your choices. And I get quite a few of them mad at me, but by the end of this term, you know, they see what I'm talking about. But there's a whole study out there on choice theory and choice therapy. And basically it's teaching people, you know, the decisions you're making today, you're going to live with them, you know, next week, next month, 10 years, whatever. So your decisions are very, very important. But how can you make a good decision if all you're bringing to the table, it might be a limited past or an abusive past or you know, you just haven't been out in the world, whatever. So you're going to make a decision for the rest of your life on the information you have. And that's why so many people, you know, often make the wrong decisions, and they don't know why, you know, their life is what it is, but you only work on what you have. So that's why it's so important to, you know, get on and listen to your show and to do things that expand your mind. Because if you don't expand it, you will keep making the same mistakes, you'll self-sabotage, you'll do all the different things, because that's all you know, that's all you've grown up with, that is your comfort zone.
And that is so true, and you know, one of the things that I always do in my class to help them,
mm-hmm.
because once we get, you're right, and I don't know why they call it a comfort zone, because most of the time there's nothing comfortable about it, but I like to call it a your familiar spot.
That's right.
Your place of, and you use that word, familiarity, your place of familiar. But what I try to make my students do is things that they typically don't do. And mm-hmm. that is the only way you're going to feel better, come out of that place of pain, is to force yourself to do things that, and, you know, it might seem like you're forcing yourself in the beginning, but eventually it's going to start getting easier and easier. You've got to go through that uncomfortable spot.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that.
Right. And if you've never done anything in change before, you're afraid to do that. It takes a couple times, you know, pushing the boundaries, pushing the wall, and trying to make the change so that you can build some confidence in your decisions. I had one gentleman in my class, and he's very angry, you know, in the first class when I said, you know, your life today is a direct response your choices you made. And he said, you listen. He said, my wife has such and such a disease. My children are having trouble in school. It's this and this and this. And he was angry because he thought that I was blaming him. And I said, oh, absolutely not. I said, we all deal with the life we have, but we choose every day to be happy or unhappy or frustrated or whatever with the life that we are given. We have this day. And it's up to us to make the best of it. And by the end of the class, he certainly understood that, yes, his life is a direct response because his choices that he makes, whether to be frustrated or angry or, you know, if he lets himself go to the point of, you know, depression without getting help, then, of course, where he's at with the life that he's been given or the hand that he's been dealt, so... It's not minimizing problems in people's life. It's just saying, take a good look at your life and then just make the decisions that will give you the best life this day.
Exactly. I mean, because we, everyone, every person on this planet, we can all convince ourselves that we have reasons to be miserable.
Oh yeah,
well,
there,
you know,
that.
like your client said, or the person in your class. Well, his wife is sick, or your daughter's sick, or somebody's sick, or somebody has an issue here, or issue there, mm-hmm. or issue everywhere. Everybody has stuff in their life that can make them sad, painful, sorry, or you know, just depressed. I mean, we could all mm-hmm. come up with reasons to feel that way.
Right, and it's a choice if you want to stay there. You know, the problems aren't going to go away, but how you handle them, how you, you might have horrible things going on in your life, and but how you handle them and the quality of life you have at that point. I mean, I've been very ill different times. I have a liver disorder, and you know, my children when I was young, they. You know, they thought they might lose their mother. Well, I didn't quit being a mother and sit there and feel sorry for myself. I tried to be the very best mother I could ever be, and I was too tenacious and bullheaded to give up. So, you know, they still have a mama, you know. So it's I could have turned that into a poor me thing, and I could have turned it into, you know, going to be a handicapped person, or I could have done a lot of different things. And I'm not saying, you know, if you're handicapped, I'm not saying, you know, that there's anything a problem with that. But I'm saying I could have let myself, instead of fighting back and going back to school and doing all the things that I do now, you know, I still have a liver disorder, but I've done a whole lot of things in my life beyond it. And what a rich life. You know, I have so much more life than if I'd have given up.
And that's so true. I mean, of course, we all have our stories. I mean, I grew up with... you know, my sister was a juvenile diabetic. She uh-huh. was sick from the age of, I was the youngest, and she was a year mm-hmm. older than me, but she was sick from the age of, I don't know, 5 years old, on up into adulthood until she passed uh-huh. away at a very young age. And, I mean, I had to deal with her illness. I had to deal with, you know, my parents and sure. their depression and their sad situation, seeing her go through that mm-hmm. and then seeing her mm-hmm. pass away. And then I myself was the victim of a horrible phobia as a result of her illness, and the phobia robbed me of lots of different things in life that I wanted to do that I wasn't able to do because I made the choice, even though I thought it was the phobia's fault. But, I mean, we all have pain and regret and anger and sadness and misery, and we've all had situations that have sure. caused us to go there, but we can make the choice not to stay there. You're right. We can't change our circumstances, but we can change our reaction to it.
Right, and so many times, I think the message is, you know, when people have these problems, they think, you know, they might look at someone who's very successful and think, well, they've always had everything handed to them.
Right.
They don't know what went on in their lives. Many of your people might not know about, you know, your sister passing away. That's a horrible thing, you know, and very traumatic and can stop people, you know, when a death in the family, especially a young one. But, you know, you've gone on to be very successful to help other people, different things. And like I said, many times when people go through maybe their first bout of a big problem, you know, we all start with the first problem, but sometimes they look at other people and they say they never have anything wrong in their life. But It's just how many people decide to push on, push through, not let it control them, not be a victim of the problem, but go out and take what they've learned from that particular instance to go out and help other people. Because every time you're given a major thing in your life that affects you, there are hundreds, thousands, millions of people who have something very similar, and you now have the knowledge to help them on their path, on their journey to get through that. And that's what you do with your show. You know, you've helped a lot of people, and it's very important. We're not given these lessons to sit home for ourselves. I think that's one of the reasons I do it, one of the reasons you do it. You know, it's we're out there trying to help people to get them over those hurdles and, you know, help them move on. I had a wonderful lady years ago. She was a counselor. It's probably one of the reasons I went into it. My son had an ulcer when he was very young, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And she was the first person that believed in me. You know, as we got into therapy, she saw that I was this little country girl and shy and backwards, 6 out of 7 kids, and not much self-esteem. And she was the first person that believed in me. You know, when you're the 6 out of 7 kids, you don't get a lot of attention. So I take that to heart every day, and I try to look at people with self-esteem problems, but no matter where they're at, and I try to find something very special, very valuable about them, because just as that mentor did for me, you know, to help me believe in myself, I think we all can help other people to believe in themselves, to get a little bit more confidence, to take the step and do some other things in their life. And it goes back to, you know, this entire month of what you're trying to talk about, reinventing your mind, you know. Sometimes we need to raise ourselves again. I've done work on healing the inner child, and sometimes we need to go back and heal those wounds and train ourselves in a new way, you know, raise ourselves to be a different person.
Mm-hmm. That's so very true. That's so very true. And yeah, that's a very key point, like you said, to heal the wounds, because...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it looks like Tony's back. Tony, are you back with us? It looks like you dropped off or went away.
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened. I got a commercial in the middle of the conversation, and it knocked me off. I don't know what that was.
But you're right, Dr. Sharon. We have to take ownership to heal those painful spots. And one thing I want to add to the story I mentioned earlier about, you know, having to... from a very young age, I mean, from the age of 4 years old, I've just known misery and depression and sickness and death. And
Sorry. And
what happened when my sister passed away, she actually left a very young child, a baby girl.
Oh.
And because of my sister's very critical, my niece was born with a lot of health issues. Mostly physical, which, you know, can be really bad when you're a young child, but, you know, mostly
right. Physical.
She had a lot of facial deformities, and just, it's really bad. You know, cleft palate, cleft lip, her whole face was really messed up. So I say that to say, you know, she could have easily fell into the victim role.
Right.
And, you know, why me? And I feel me, but I would not allow her to do that.
Good for you.
I would not allow her to do that, and she is just an amazing young woman today. I don't even remember the number of surgeries that she had to go through. I mean, it was in the double digits, so I don't even know. It was in the 20s or something, but she had tons of surgeries on her face and her scalp and her head and just, oh, it's just amazing. But her belief and her spirituality and her inner strength, it's just amazing. It's amazing. She's a grown lady today, and just an outstanding young woman. I don't even know how to describe her. I mean, she's just amazing. She is absolutely amazing, and I'm just proud of the fact that God gave me the inner strength to get through the things that I've had to deal with in my life. Because, you know, that's just one story among many, and I'm sure we all have many.
Right.
I've got some health issues of my own. As a matter of fact, I had a trifecta, if you know what that is, a threesome that actually hit me all in the same year. A major health issue and a very horrible, painful divorce. And my best friend in the world, my mother, passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All within a few months of each other. And because I can remember, Dr. Sharon, I can remember when I went through my health issue and I had to have emergency surgery. I remember laying back on the table waiting for the anesthesiologist to come in. I remember thinking to myself, when I wake up, I want to see my mother. I don't want to wake back up in this recovery room. I remember thinking that.
Right, right.
I had hit rock bottom.
Right.
I had enough.
Right, and we get to that point, and that's why it's important, you know, our spiritual background. A couple of things you said I'd like to touch on. Two things. First of all, I learned a long time ago, similar to you, I was in the hospital, different things, and was there by myself, and, you know, was on the verge of not making it. And my children couldn't come in. I was far away from everybody. And one of the most important things, my kids sent me flowers and this little card that said, "We love you, Mama." And they had their three names on it. And I would just lay there. They had me on morphine and all these different things. And I would just lay there and stare at that card. And one of the greatest lessons I learned that changed my life was that in the end, it's just you and God. People will come in your life and go out of your life, and circumstances will happen, and loves will come and loves will go, and children will grow and get their own families and all the different things we deal with. But in the end, it's just you and God, and that's why the spiritual side of your life is so, so, so important. And I really try to encourage all my moms that I work with, you know, please give your children a spiritual background, because who do they have to go to if they don't have, you know, God in their heart when times are tough? You know, what would they do? They, drugs, different things like that? They need to have this faith. And another thing that you said that I want to touch on, you said a little while ago, you said it's important to take ownership of your life and the things that are going on with you. This all ties together. It is so important that you take ownership of what is going on in your life. It is so important that, because you can't make any changes. Just as I was laying there, I could have laid there and fussed and, you know, poor me, no one's coming to see me while I was too far away in the hospital. But I could have fussed about it, or I turned it into a positive and I said, you know, it's a great lesson I learned. Everybody in the end, it's you and God. And so you don't put a lot of your whole life in someone else's hands, because you need to have that inner strength to be able to handle it. You have to take ownership of your life. You have to take ownership of your problems. You have to have ownership of your choices, because it's up to you. Your life, you have to handle it. No one else can handle it. Everyone does try to handle your life for you, or, you know, we get into that. But you have to handle your own life and your own decisions, and that's very, very important.
Now, Dr. Sharon, I wanted to ask you.
That is very important. And you know, when we also need to keep in mind, too, because I know there's a lot of people who listen to my shows and they download the archives, we also need to keep in mind that we are responsible for our own lives, and we are not responsible for the lives of anyone else. And we get caught up into that so much. You know, we love our parents. Absolutely. My mother was my best friend.
Right.
I love her dearly, and I still do, even though she's passed on. I love her dearly. We love our children. We love our family. But we are not responsible for their lives. They are. We can't carry their pain. We can't feel bad about the choices they're making. Like you said, in the end, it's you and God, and that is who you have to be held accountable for, yourself.
Right. I have just a full summer. My daughter had a baby. This is her second one, and she was married like I guess, about 4 years ago. And my oldest son got married the 4th of July on the ocean with fireworks. And then I have my other son getting married August 7th. So this year, all of my children are married, have other people in their lives. So as a mama, you know, it makes me feel good because I had been so sick, you know, that they all have someone, they all love someone. But it's, you know, it's definitely a time for me to back up, you know, because I have these new wonderful daughter-in-laws that will take good care of my sons, you know. But it's hard for parents to back off and let their children, you know, sometimes move on. These guys are in their 30s, you know, so it's about time I let them go.
But
you know, it's just, you know, we have to let people go because we have this wonderful, beautiful life, and if people hang on to us too tight, we don't get to experience it. And I think that's what we're down here for, you know, to make a difference in people's lives. And what a great gift we have been given to live on this earth and to enjoy life, the good, the bad, the ugly, ups and downs. But it's a wonderful life, you know, if you choose it to be and take every step towards that. And it's just absolutely a gift that I think we need to give thanks for every day, you know, that we do have the ability to go through the tough times and the good times. And
Yeah. And that's a blessing also that you're all of your children have someone to love. I mean, you know, in this world, to find someone that truly loves you unconditionally, knows all your faults, knows all your attributes, and still loves you in spite of everything that may not be so pleasant, that is a huge blessing, a huge blessing. People search the world over to find that. So when you find it, everyone who, if you can hear me out there listening to me, if you can find that, I'd say hold on and don't let that go because that is so, that's what the world is made of. I mean, love makes the world go round.
That's a wonderful gift.
So if you can find someone to share your life with and someone who's there to support you and encourage you and lift you up, stay right there. Don't go anywhere.
That's right. And we need to, you know, too many times, and I told all my children when they got married, you know, because I'd been through a divorce, I told all my children, you know, it doesn't stop once you get married. That's when it starts. And don't start thinking you own them. Don't start bossing them around. Don't start, you know, sometimes people get into this ownership thing, and now you have to do things my way. Absolutely not. It's a journey. You're walking beside this wonderful, beautiful companion, and you can have a great life as long as you don't try to live their life and they don't try to live yours. You know, it can be just the best thing you ever did. You know, if it's the right person, it's truly the best thing you ever do.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you can't handle your life, and you can't take ownership of your life, and you can't improve your life if you're so busy worrying about your children's lives or your family members' lives or your friends or anybody, your parents. If you can't handle what's going on with yourself, you have to be strengthened. You have to be whole. You have to be healthy. Your mind has to be where it's supposed to be for you to be the best that you can be for anybody, for any family member. I mean, if you're full of pain and anger and sadness and regret and self-pity and God only knows what else, other emotions that are controlling you, then you can't really be a full, whole person for anybody else.
No, and you know they always tell you, you know, like the airlines, you know, put the mask on, the oxygen mask on first before your children, before anyone else. You have to take care of yourself so that you have the strength. You know, too many times as mothers or women, you know, we just totally give up on everything on ourselves, and we go out and we do for everyone else, and we don't put our own oxygen masks on until sometimes it's too late. And you really do need to take care of yourself, men and women, and be strong and have a well-balanced life so that you can step out there and take care of your families and take care of your friends. Now, again, not control them like Kathy and I have been talking about, you know, yes, it's very important to take care of yourself and be strong and do all the things you need to.
Now, Dr.
Yes, Tony.
Well, I just wanted to ask, one of the things that happens a lot of times, and I was just listening, when it comes to taking a look at changing the way that you think so that you can be better, people always allow
Hey, Terry, what is going on with your phone? Are you moving or are you in transit?
No, actually, I'm stable and sitting in my office. So.
Okay, now that sounds better.
Okay. But what I was asking is, when it comes to basically people making excuses of why they can't and why they're not, how do they eliminate that thought process? Because that's one of the barriers that gets in so many folks' way when it comes to trying to do that kind of thing. They excuse themselves out of their accomplishments.
Sure, and they always, everything is always someone else's fault, someone else's problems. And that's one of the hardest things. And, you know, clients resent their therapists, their counselors different times because they don't want to go through this change, through these different things. And sometimes I try to bring them back to what is good about them, because a lot of times when people are lashing out and not wanting to do this, it's because of fear. And if I try to give them confidence in themselves, if I try to help them find the things that they're good at so that they can start an emotional bank account, so to speak, you know, quoting Covey, but start this emotional bank account of the good things I've done, if I get my clients or people that I work with to put enough good things in, to start believing in themselves again, then when they get the confidence, because many times what you're talking about is a lack of confidence, and that's why people lash out. So if I can get them to start counting their gratitudes, to you know, start building their confidences, it takes a while, but then they can stop blaming other people, because most of the time they blame other people to try to make themselves look better when, like we were talking earlier, you know, you have to take ownership. And it's hard to take ownership if you just don't have any self-esteem or aren't feeling good about yourself at all. It's just really hard to take another hit, and that's what it feels like. So building the confidence, building the person, building the inner spirit, the inner child, taking good care of that inner child. You know, I work with one client, and was trying to help her because, you know, she had a lot of confidence problems, and I was trying to help her work with the inner child. She had a rough time growing up, and a lot of bad things happened. And I said, you know, if you were the parent of that child inside of you, how would you do it differently? How would you make them feel good about themselves? What would you do, you know? And she called me really happy this one day, and she says, I took her for an ice cream cone. So she was really getting into it. But you do. You have to. We have, you know, sometimes people have a lot of pain inside, and they just cannot. It feels like if they, you know, if they blame someone else, they almost feel like they have to, because they just could not have another straw on their back if it looked like it was their fault. Does that answer your question a little bit?
And, you know, I want to add to that, Dr. Sharon, what the question that Tony just asked, because there's another component that I'd like for everybody to keep in mind. You first need to recognize that you're making an excuse.
Yes.
Because there are so many people who absolutely are believing their excuses.
Yes, they do.
Have convinced themselves that is a reason why they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a valid reason.
Right, and like I said, most of the time it's because they just can't take another negative in their life. But they truly, you know, I deal with another gentleman that absolutely everything is someone else's fault. And basically what he needs is love. He needs someone to support him and believe in him and make him feel that, you know, what he's doing is good. Then he wouldn't have to try so hard to look good, to put other people down, to make himself look better. You know, that's most of the time those are the reasons they do it. And, you know, they get into such a habit of it. You know, it takes a while to get them over it. But once they start believing in themselves,
yeah,
it's so important. Because, you know, once you start that process that you truly believe in yourself, life opens up, life is good, you know, you are a special, special creation. And, you know, like I said, you have this wonderful time on earth, and I repeat it is a gift. It is a wonderful gift, and too many people don't know that. It's so important that you just enjoy your time here and what you're doing and look at each day you know, is, hey, this is a wonderful day. What can I do, you know, to make the best of this? You know, I've been given this day. Years ago, I read a book. It was called Jonica's Island. I read it when I was, like, in fourth grade. My fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Price, read it, and we would all have to put our heads down on our desk and listen. Well, this book, if you can ever get it, Jonica's Island, it was about this poor little girl, and her father was an alcoholic. Her mother had died. You know, they sent her away to be an indentured servant, all these different things. And one of the things she did, now remember, I was like 8 years old when I first read this. One of the things that she did every night was to count her gratitudes. And no matter how horrible her life was, no matter, you know, the bad things that happened, all the different things, she would search and search and search until she found a gratitude, some little tiny thing. Maybe her shoe didn't leak that day, or maybe she had enough cornmeal for porridge or whatever she had. But this little girl, at that young age, she knew how to count her gratitudes, and then that made her happy. That made one little piece of her heart happy, and then she would count the next gratitude. That would make the next little piece of her heart happy. And I think sometimes we're so negative, we do not count the gratitudes. We do not count the things that have been given to us that make us happy. And from that point on, from 8 years old on, like I said, you know, I've had a life full of ups and downs, and I have counted my gratitudes every night. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, but you pick one thing, and I wake up in the morning, I think, thank you, God, for this, for giving me another day. Thank you for the trees. Thank you for this stupid dog that's barking, getting me out of bed, you know, because he wants to go out. I have a big labradoodle, and he thinks at 5:30 in the morning I just need to get up. He doesn't want to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. He just wants me to get up, you know.
And that's so true, Dr. Sharon, because life is a gift. And if we get caught up in things that are making us miserable, uncontrollable things, by the way, that are making us miserable, then we don't have time to count our blessings. And the other thing I wanted to point out is that when we get so caught up in being ungrateful because we're so busy feeding our misery and feeding our sadness and feeding our depression and feeding all of those toxic emotions inside, then you're going to miss the gifts that are in your life. You're going to miss the gifts that God is giving to you. You're going to miss it. You're not going to see it. You're not going to realize it's there, and then it's going to be gone.
Right, and that goes back to one of the important things. You know, I'm very much into social and cultural. It's how we are brought up. And if your family all along has taught you to be miserable, to be to find the fault, to find the negative, to find, you know, all these different things, if that is the only thing that you've known all your life, that's your comfort zone, you know, if that's the only thing that you know, of course you're going to try to handle your life like that. So it's important to, as I said earlier, to reparent yourself, you know, to change, you know, to be a positive person, you know, to, you know, and it's not the easiest thing when you first started. You know, now I'm so positive I make myself sick, you know, but you know, you just keep trying and you just, because if you don't, you will stick with the social consciousness that you were raised in. And many times we need to break away from that to be the best people, because our parents did the absolute best they could do with what they had. You know, God bless them. We all, as a parent, we just do the best we can do. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means that we tried. So sometimes in areas that have been missed, you know, you need to reparent yourself and say, okay, had I been my own parent, I would have done this. I would have complimented me. I wouldn't have put me down all the time. So the negativity that you grew up with, or the, you know, the different things that went on, you can turn them around. I'm really into neuro-linguistic programming, which is, you know, retraining the way you think, you know, to be positive, not negative. But so that's what I try to do, like I said, with students, with clients, with everyone I meet. You know, it's life is here to enjoy. Life is here to be happy. It is a choice.
That's right. And you know what you said about our parents doing the best they can do. I I'm just going to put it out there because I know some of you listening might say, well, she didn't say this, and she didn't touch on what I've been through, and she didn't say anything. You know what? Everybody has been through something. Maybe you had wonderful parents. Maybe your parents were the best parents in the world, but it was somebody in your society, in your community, in your church, in your school. It's something everywhere. Somebody has something in their childhood. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you were mistreated. Mm-hmm. Maybe you were teased. Maybe you've been through something that we haven't touched on. But
right.
The point is that something happened in your childhood that was beyond your control that caused you to hold on to the toxic beliefs that you currently have today. And now that you're an adult, you are totally 100% responsible for recognizing that you're making excuses, recognizing that you're no different than any other person on the planet. You have issues, uncontrollable situations, things in your life you would love to change if you had your way, but you can't. This is your life. This is what you have, and the only thing you have within your control is choices and decisions.
Well, see, and that, let me take a step onto that. When you said, you know, about the different things in people's lives, you know, be grateful. Be, you know, thank God that you are the one that have this burden on you, because now you can do something about it. Because when it was in someone else's hands, whether it was a parent, an uncle, an aunt, you know, all the different horrible things that happen in people's lives, you know, all these different things. You know, when you were subject to someone else dealing with it, you know, that's painful. You know, they tell you what to do. You can't get away from it. But if you are an adult now and you have it and you know all these different things that are going on, you can take control of you.
Right.
Thank
right.
God they're in your hands now, because you can take ownership of it and you can make a change. And, you know, that's a wonderful place to be. It's never a negative place when you get to the point that you say, wow, my life was really crappy and I had a lot of stuff. Get down on your knees and thank God and say, okay, thank you for letting me be in control of my life right now, because I'm going to change this. I'm not going to live this way the rest of my life. I'm not going to let these things be a burden to me. I'm not going to let it.
I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to
yes.
be grateful.
Mm-hmm. You have the right to take that little girl out for ice cream. You know, that inner child, you have the right to get out there and be happy in your life, because it's up to you now. All the bad stuff is on your plate now, and it's up to you with what you scrape off, what you add salt to, what you season. You know, it's up to you. It's your gourmet dinner from this point on.
And I know everyone out there is listening to us thinking, yeah, you all think it's easy. We've been there. I mean, you've heard us both talk about some of our traumas and dramas that we've dealt with in our life. I mean, I remember a time when my list was so long.
Oh, yeah.
And it still is today. I mean, I still deal with lots of challenges today. I just choose not to focus on those.
Right.
Because
right.
I do have a choice. And you know, if you all need to make sure, if you hear anything we're saying, that you got to start somewhere. You just have to start somewhere. Just, you know, I know you may not feel like going out doing something or going somewhere or calling somebody up, telling them you love them, or, you know, showing gratitude in some shape, form, or fashion. You may not feel like it. Of course you may not be in that mindset, but do it anyway. Trust me. If you do it anyway, push beyond the pain, push beyond the discomfort or the not wanting to, or you know, push beyond whatever it is that is holding you back, it will make a difference, I promise you.
Right.
And you know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Tony.
Well, I was just going to say, Kathy, and I just wanted to add that I like what you said, you know, start somewhere. The one thing that people have to remember, and Dr. Sharon, the one thing that people have to remember is starting from somewhere is starting from where you are. Just remember that wherever that place is that you start, that's the beginning of the new you. And it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've gone through. Those things can be tools, but the start is from the point where you are. And I think if more people will remember that, you know, starting is just taking the step, taking that action, and taking the moment in time that says, okay, I'm tired of this. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. I'm going to be a better me, and I'm going to start from this place. When you start from that place where you are, and that's the beginning of the new you, what you've gone through and what you've dealt with will seem so far away because the new you becomes so new to you that other stuff is so distant. The growth is a special thing. And I want to go back to that when you were talking about the gratitude. The one thing that I really liked in what you said, you know, before you went to sleep, you know, being grateful when you were telling the story about the book. If you search for something to be grateful for, if you're spending time searching for that, you really don't have a lot of time to worry about the things that didn't go right.
Right, that's exactly right.
Yeah, so I really love that illustration from the book. That was a great illustration, and I just wanted to get that in.
Right. Well, like I said, if you can get the book, it's called Jonica's Island, and it's an antique book now. And I looked online the other day, and they were like $300. But if I ever find a copy, I'm gonna, you know. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, you know, it's something that Kathy said about, and thank you, Tony, for saying that you know, you have to start. You know, you have today. This is a wonderful start for the rest of your life. This moment, this second, you know, you have today. This is the new you. From this point on, it's your choice. I wrote a book several years ago. I was, you know, in a collection of, you know, different authors. And mine, Linda Eastman, you know, had published the book. And my story, which she
Linda
knew my
Ellis
background.
Eastman?
Yes, yes.
Oh my goodness, that is my mentor, and I'm an advisory board member in her company.
Right, yeah, for years I was with them, but anyhow, that's another story, but, you know, because I just got so busy, I just had to step away, but anyhow, mm-hmm. I wrote in one of her books, and she knows my background, she knows the pain, the horrendous things that happened in my life, and she assigned me, she's always had this special touch, and I think God sits on her shoulder, too, she assigned me this story, or this title, and it was like, what to do if you've fallen or failed. Now, who wants to talk about being a failure? Who wants to talk about falling? Who wants to talk about abuses in your life? Who wants to talk about all the horrendous things? But that was the title that she assigned me, and it was a very much a growth for me because I finally came out and admitted a lot of the different things that had happened. This is for the people out there that, you know, that think, okay, you've arrived, nothing ever happened to you. But it was very important. So I wrote this chapter in this book, and you know, of course, it was published. And so several years later, a lady from Rhode Island called me, and she read this story, and she created a whole movement. There's like 1,000 people or something up there now that's these women that she deals with, and she's even been on TV with it because of this one little story that she read that I wrote.
Wow.
And what it said was, you know, what to do if you've fallen or failed, you know, and this story, you know, tells you some of the different things I've said here, how to pick yourself up, how to be that person, how to do those different things. Well, this lady created this work, this movement, and what she does, she has the book in there, and she lets these people read it, and she talks about it all the time, this story on you don't have to stay down there if you've fallen or failed. You can pick yourself back up, and she's a beautician, and she started this movement that she would help women get on their feet and go out for their interviews to find new jobs, and she would fix their hair for free, or she would do things to help other women to get back on their feet when they've fallen or failed. So don't think that a word that you say or some kindness, some gentleness that you give someone doesn't go unnoticed. I mean, like I said, this story that Linda assigned that I thought, you know, yeah, I'm not going to write that about myself, but it made a big difference in a lot of women's lives.
That's wonderful. I've written it. I think I've written in 5 of her books. I don't know. I've written in a ton of them. But you know, that's a beautiful story, Dr. Sharon, and I can totally believe that. And mm-hmm. I read somewhere, I don't know where, I don't know the source, and, you know, I'd like to give credit for whatever I read, but I can't remember if it was an article or if I read it in a book, but I read somewhere that, because there's so many people that use the excuse that they're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I read somewhere that...
And it can be clinical, and it is a physiological problem sometimes.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. But if you're not hospitalized, now I'm just talking about, you know, people who are walking around, you know, saying they're depressed, mm-hmm. but they're still going about their life. Now, if you're hospitalized and you've got a severe case and you know, it's really bad, then that's one thing. But I'm talking about people who are just, they say it's depression, but it's really just stinking thinking.
Mm-hmm. And I read somewhere
that if you just smile, if you just do some type of positive, loving gesture, just something as simple as a smile, or like you said, show a form of gratitude. Just say out loud, I am thankful for, thank you, God, for fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
That actually can increase your serotonin and dopamine levels in your brain.
Right. And you do need to get them up. One of the things on depression, you know, sometimes people don't go to the hospital when they are severely depressed and try to handle it at home. And please, if anyone's out there that's doing that, because I did that, you know, I should have been hospitalized.
I'm sure we all have.
Yeah, and you know, but go to a doctor. Take something for a little while until you get on your feet. Don't make it a crutch. But like Kathy said, you know, get out there, start making a difference in other people's lives, and it will raise the awareness in your own, and like she said, will increase the serotonin, the dopamine. But I always tell people, though, you know, if you need help, go for help. That's a wonderful gift you give yourself. And then when you get a hold of yourself, then burst out of there and do these things. But sometimes, you know, don't run away from depression. Depression hurts, you know, but if you need the medication just to get a hold of yourself, that's okay. A lot of people fight that, and a lot of people fight going to counselors because they, you know, I can remember way back when I went for counseling, and I think my mother-in-law said, well, we've never had anyone in our family that had mental issues, and I thought, well, I'm not the one with mental issues, you know, I'm depressed, but, you know, it's a stigma, and people didn't want to ever think that someone was going for counseling, and I think that's why I am so out there for people to go for help and get counseling, because we're not born knowing all these things, and if someone can help you to get a hold of yourself, to take control of your life, to do these things, you have a whole new life, so don't be afraid of it. Embrace it, move on.
If you've tried medications or counseling or you've tried mm-hmm. those things and it's not working, then maybe it's not clinical. Maybe it's just your mindset that you need to just break out and just start from where you are. Don't wait until you feel like it. Don't wait until you feel like it. Just do a little something now. Just like you said, just find something to be grateful about. You can be grateful about being alive. If you can't mm-hmm. think of anything, then use that one.
Yep.
You know, there's always something to be grateful about. So don't wait. Just be happy, be grateful, smile, do some sort of loving gesture, no matter how small. It's not too small. You may tell yourself, oh, that's nothing. But it is something. Everything counts.
Yes, it does. One of the things that, you know, with my clients, this is one of the things that I prescribe for them. If you've had, you know, like you talked about, you went through a tough divorce or you've had some bad things happen in your life, it's okay to lay down and lick your wounds, you know,
yes.
to run around, pretend
yes.
like it didn't happen will hurt
yes.
you more. It's
Absolutely.
Okay to lay down, lick your wounds, to take care
right.
of yourself. You have to take care of yourself. And if
right.
you need to go to bed for a day or so, that's okay.
Right.
Don't stay there forever. Get up after, you know, a day or whatever, but take good care of you. Eat good. Take good care of yourself. And then after you've rested, then get out and do these little things that will bring you back to life, you know, to embracing life. And, you know, sometimes with some of my clients, I say, you know, if they have big decisions and they just can't deal with it, I said, okay, it's okay, go ahead and take a nap, because a lot of time depressed people will sleep a lot. And I said, okay, take a nap, tell yourself, okay, I'm going to take a nap, you know, I need it, I'm stressed, and when I get up, then I'm going to do this and this and this. I'm going to make a conscious decision to take this nap, again, back to choice, I'm going to make a conscious decision to take this nap and give myself this very badly needed rest. And then when I get up, I'm going to get on the phone and make that call I need to make, or I'm going to go that place and do that particular thing I need to do. But, you know, sometimes if we just push ourselves when we're too tired, that's not good. That's why I always say, take good care of yourself first, then you have the strength to go out and make the decisions and the things that you need to help.
Right. And, you know, I like what you said about, you know, if you've got to cry and get it out, that's fine. And I like to tell my clients, it's okay to visit Pity City, but just don't live there.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You cannot live there. Because if you stay there, there's actually something. I'm not a doctor, but I know that if you stay in a chronic state of thinking or bad mindset or woe is me or miserable or you feel like your pain is all around you and you can't get out, you just can't dig your way out, you're cutting years off your life because it will start to affect your physical health.
Very much so, very much so. And, you know, the thinking part of it is so important to pull yourself out of it. You know, I like motivational, whether they're motivational speeches or movies or there's a little girl on YouTube. And she's this tiny little girl, and she's up on her sink, and she's just, I wish I could think of it. I'll send you an email of it, and you can put it up. But she gets up in front of the mirror, and she says, I feel good. I'm happy. I have the best family in the world. I'm doing good. You know, and she says all these different things that she wants in her life. And she's like 3 or 4 years old, and it's so cute. But I watch that, and then the self-affirmations, you say the things that you would like to be in your life. You know, if you keep saying all the negative things, that's what's going to come to you. But if you say, I am happy and you know, money's coming to me and my family loves me and, you know, all these things, you know, whatever you profess is what you're going to get.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. And you know, I want to leave, I know we've got a few minutes left, but I want to leave all of our listeners with something. We all know it's very difficult. We know that letting go is very scary. It's very scary. But think about what's on the other side. Think about all the wonderful blessings that will come your way. Think about all the people that are waiting to embrace you, the situations that are waiting for you to enjoy. And there's a whole big, beautiful, wonderful world of enjoyment out there. Don't you want to be part of that? Aren't you tired of sitting at home being miserable or sitting on your job being miserable or sitting in a toxic relationship being miserable? I've heard another saying, and again, I'm sorry, I don't know who it belongs to, but someone said that the harder you fall, the higher you bounce.
Yeah.
And I know I was there at one point, and I know lots of people listening have been there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time for you to bounce. And it's time for you to bounce high. So please do that. Please take everything we've said and just start. It doesn't matter where you start or how small you start. Just start. And be consistent. Once you start, don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Do a little bit more every day and a little bit more every day. And remember, the more you do every day, you're building up those very critical chemicals that your brain needs to be healthy. So, Dr. Sharon, I'm going to ask you to, you know, give us your final words and, you know, take us out with your final thought because we're coming up on our last 60 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for having me here because always before I speak or do anything, I always pray and I tell God, you know, I'm a conduit for you. And if there's someone out there that needs to hear something, please let me say the words that help someone. I've been given a lot of challenges in my life for this moment to help other people. And embrace your challenges, you know, look at them and see the lessons that you're supposed to learn so that you can move on and be the best that you can be. Kathy, you have a wonderful, wonderful show, and it helps many people. And, you know, just like Tony said earlier, start here. Start here. You know,
because
you have this moment, you have this day. Tell Linda I said hello, and, you know, anytime you want to talk about goal setting, we'll continue this conversation.
Absolutely, absolutely. thank
you very much,
everyone,
for
joining us, because we are coming up on our last few seconds here. But we want to make sure we remind you all to just start smiling, just start doing loving gestures, just start somewhere, because tomorrow is not promised. So you have to live every day to the fullest.
That's exactly
thank you for
right.
joining us for this segment of Living by Design. We're going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And
we will
Dr.
see
Sharon
you.
Sparks.
And thank you, Dr. Sharon, for joining us. And we will see everyone this time next week. Good night, everyone.